Welcome back to Campaign War Stories. I'm Wesley Donahue. Today I'm joined by Anthony Birch of Platform Communications. In this episode, we talk a lot about campaign and advocacy work in the state of Wisconsin. Anthony, what's going on, brother?
Good to see you, man. Excited to be here doing this with you.
Yeah, I'm excited too, man. I wanted to get you on because I am practically living, if not physically, then mentally in the state of Wisconsin right now. So I know that's where you are.
Yeah, we've found ourselves the center of a lot of stuff over and over again recently, whether it's top Senate races or presidential campaigns, people forgetting about us, not forgetting about us. So yeah. Center of everything.
Well, it's definitely going to be a hot state this year. We'll talk about that in just a second, man. But I was recently there. It was negative 16. I went back 10 days later. It was 50 degrees. And then I was in bed for 8 days. So it's sick as hell. So that like 65 degree swing in weather took me down hard, man. And I'll tell you, after being there in that negative 16 degrees and being from the South, I don't know how you guys do it. That's like a whole nother level of just like toughness.
We're built different, I think.
You are.
We're just built a little bit different. Yeah, you got to be, we kind of roll with the punches. It's got like that good Midwest feel where people are kind, but the negative 16 to 50 degrees in one day swing. I don't know you ever get used to it, but you just learn how to adapt. So that's what we try to do.
I will tell you, Wisconsinites are not people you want to screw with because they obviously got to be super tough to deal with that shit, man.
Yeah. No, it's not easy. We're nice, but yeah, we're used to that, you know, those temperature changes. So nothing else really gets to us, because if you can survive that, you can survive.
Yeah.
Most anything in the world.
No shit, man. Have you been there your whole life?
Yeah. So I grew up in Wisconsin, went to the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So I'm a Badger.
Such a beautiful campus.
It's amazing. It's obviously way better in the summer when it's not negative 16 degrees, but isolated kind of in between two lakes. It's a really awesome place.
So I'm a big runner. And when I was in Madison last summer, I went through a run through the university, and there were these like frat houses on the lake. And these guys were just out there at like 2 in the afternoon partying on the lake. I'm like, that is a college experience right there, man.
Lakefront property frat house. Yeah, you don't get that a ton of places. And
I've never seen it.
Yeah, we have it in Madison. Yeah, it's awesome. And and Milwaukee's great too. Like, we're kind of, I'm in between Milwaukee and Madison, and so both of those places are great. And Milwaukee's a really cool city. We got the convention coming here, obviously, National Convention coming here this summer, and so I think it'll be a fun time to showcase, you know, a couple of the cool spots in Wisconsin for people.
Absolutely. What are you seeing in Wisconsin right now? I mean, it's just become the ultimate purple swing state, right? So like, we've got this competitive U.S. Senate race. I mean, it's going to obviously be a top targeted race for the presidential, which is why the convention's in Milwaukee. I mean, like, what's going on in Wisconsin to make it so important right now?
Yeah, it's I feel like it's just like a good kind of microcosm of kind of what's happening in the electorate kind of as a whole. You know, you have these conversations about you know, President Trump kind of changing the electorate in terms of what his base is compared to maybe historical Republicans, and what you would see in terms of suburbs voting overwhelmingly red. And you know, as everyone in the industry talks about crucial Waukesha County, that's, I mean, the outstate part of the state, definitely more rural, more blue collar, maybe more traditional, you know, Democrat union favorable area. And you saw that kind of turn on its head in 16. And then you've kind of seen this slow reimagining of what the electorate is for each of the parties in here, based on kind of suburban areas turning a little bit more blue and outstate rural areas kind of flipping way more red. So it's and that's happening kind of across the country as you think about it, and it's happening here in a really kind of interesting way. So yeah.
Do you believe Republicans got a pretty good shot this year? I mean, is it trending enough red for us to be able to do some damage this time around?
I mean, I feel good about this state. You know, when we had a weird election the previous cycle when Ron won again and we lost the Republican side lost the governor's race at the same time. And so it's one of those states that you pundits and people from a national level can't really make sense of. When you're here, it makes a little bit more sense because, you know, people might view who they're sending to Washington a little bit differently on who they want, maybe in the governor's mansion or something like that. So it's an interesting way. I think we got a shot. It's a purple state. You know, we'll get into this a little bit, but working on races in the state, it's something that, that I feel like Republicans have a real shot, especially kind of with how things are trending. I mean, things are expensive here. There's all the economic questions here that everybody has kind of across the country. And I think it's going to come to that. We have good polling up here with Marquette Law School poll and Charles Franklin, what he does there. And so it's one that's not going to be competitive. And I'm sure we'll start seeing ads very soon on the TVs and not start seeing them for a while. So,
well, you're already seeing U.S. Senate ads on TV, and I know that. And by the way, this is a good time to tell people listening, I'm working from home today, and my lawn guys just showed up. So if you hear the weed whacker in the background, it's because these guys are literally right outside of my window. So I apologize for that. But speaking of weed whacking, you know, we're trying to take out Tammy Baldwin this time. I'm super close with Eric Hovde. I was on his campaign 12 years ago, and he asked me to come back on. Now, we remained friends over the last decade. So I'm very involved in Wisconsin politics. I'm in Madison all the time right now, but we're already up on air. The Democrats came in with a $2 million ad buy yesterday attacking Eric Baldwin. That's from the committee. Tammy Baldwin herself went up on TV this morning. So, I mean, it's not going to stop in Wisconsin. I mean, the campaigns have already started. You're going to be seeing television ads literally from now until November. So
yeah,
it should be fun for you guys.
My neighbor and I, speaking of it being cold in Wisconsin, are in a like golf simulator league, just trying to keep the rust off in the 6 months of winter up here, and sitting down waiting for our bay to open, having a drink, and saw the Hovde ad on TV during the Marquette UConn game last night. So
nice,
they're going to be on for a while. So we're
oh yeah,
for it.
In fact, he just went up with his second ad yesterday, a 60-second ad. So yeah, man, it's going to be a tough year for you guys. But you know, before we get into your 2016 story, which I know we're going to talk a little bit about Ron John, because you can't talk about Wisconsin without talking about Ron John, right? I mean, you now are moved on from political campaigns and are focused on issue advocacy and digital, right? Like, what are you up to these days?
Yeah, so I'm the Senior Vice President of Marketing and Digital for a firm based out of Madison. We have an office in Milwaukee as well, called Platform Communications. We started... probably almost 6-7 years ago. Keith Jilks is our firm's founder and CEO, very successful, helping Scott Walker navigate the recall and winning the recall. And he started the firm just to kind of be that in-between place between these advocacy groups, issue groups, association groups that are trying to get things done in the Capitol, trying to talk about important issues in the state, and kind of being that connective tissue between what they're doing government relations lobbying wise with kind of a comms marketing digital approach that we all know on campaign world, but maybe some other folks didn't realize how accessible and how helpful those tools are to the larger strategies and things that they're trying to accomplish. So we work with a number of clients, state, regionally, a couple nationally, focusing on I lead our marketing and digital efforts for that, which can be everything from kind of bottom funnel lead generation, trying to grow a small dollar, fundraising audience for an association or an advocacy group, all the way to some of these bigger issue advocacy campaigns that matter to our state, whether it's related to, you know, homes taxes, property taxes, all those different kinds of things. And so it's been a really fun transition. I spent a little time after transitioning from DC and doing some political things out there in the marketing and digital world to this. And it's been really fun. It's been a lot more teaching people, I think, how these tools can help them Because a lot of times it might feel a little scary, or digital might feel like a black box of what does that even mean? And so I love it because I get to talk about this stuff that I got to execute kind of on a big scale, and make it really accessible for our clients and the people that we work with.
On the advocacy side, are you spending more time reaching voters, trying to persuade voters, or are you mostly trying to reach voters to drive them to contact legislators, or is it a little bit of both?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. So kind of depends on the situation. You know, we have a lot of groups that will have kind of these peaks and valleys of activity, right? And one thing that I've loved trying to help people understand, not dissimilar to a campaign when you have a candidate that runs for 2 years and then maybe takes off for 4 years. And I think in the industry, we've seen how that's like, you can't turn it off. You can't stop emailing your list or keeping people engaged or providing value to the people that you're trying to keep engaged. So we'll do a lot of educating voters about an issue. I always like to think of what's the next thing we want to ask from them, because I don't want to just, you know, stop at, hey, we've reached them, we've done our job. Like, what else are you guys going to have that we can try to add value to this program to use and parlay for the next campaign that you're going to have? So a lot of times it could be just IDing people who support a specific issue, and then later on activating them to go advocate on behalf of our campaign or organization. So it kind of a little bit of both, but I'm always trying to make sure we're thinking of, let's not start and stop and lose a bunch of fuel efficiency in turning the car all the way off and turning it back on. Like, let's keep it at a low hum for a little bit.
Is it mostly state legislative work?
Yeah, we're doing a lot of state legislative work. There could be, you know, a lot of local, you know, if there's a local development, you know, on something.
Gotcha. Whether it's, yeah, we do a lot of that too.
Developing or, you know, a solar installation or something like that. There's a lot of local things you got to work through. And politics is local, like we like to talk about. But you really see that when you're trying to work with a client and convince a city council or a town board or a county board of something. So it's that statewide, and then a couple regional, you know, maybe a DNR commission who's doing a study on something.
Gotcha. For example.
So, when is the Wisconsin legislature in session?
So there's a little bit, I believe they're in a little bit right now. Rusty, who leads our public affairs, is going to yell at me because I always text him and ask him when they're in session, because I don't bother.
Yeah, but I guess the point is they're in every year, right? So
in every year.
We do a lot of advocacy. Unlike Texas, who's in every other year, that's why I bring it up. Some people don't know that. Some state legislators only come in every other year. But, I mean, that advocacy work is great business. I mean, like, we got a lot of insiders listening to this podcast that are trying to figure out how to run businesses. And, you know, we've had our advocacy shop now for 8 years. And, I mean, it's even on the campaign side, even though we're primarily campaigns, that's what keeps the doors open for us in non-election years. That work is so much more consistent. It's so much more stable, and it doesn't have the emotional roller coaster that the campaign work does. I mean, do you prefer working on the advocacy stuff than the campaign stuff, or is your heart still on the campaign side?
Yeah. I mean, well, I was talking to one of my colleagues, and he said it this way, like, politics is like athletics for competitive people who aren't athletic.
That's so smart. Yeah.
I feel a little bit that way. There's always the itch. I, you know, I was in politics doing it. My wife and I actually had our first child in DC. And there was a moment where we were, I think she was like 3 months old. We were living right on Capitol Hill, right by the now defunct Tortilla Coast. And I got a text in the middle of like giving a bath and doing a bedtime routine with my daughter that night. And President, I think, Trump had tweeted something. I was doing a little bit of work with Targeted Victory with the NRCC at the time, and I had to kind of drop everything to go handle that because that's the speed at which politics move. And
that's right.
It was just kind of like, you know what, this I don't really want to do that necessarily anymore.
Yeah, it's tough.
And so it's been really fun to be in a space where we're still moving quickly. We're engaged on issues that are in the news and on TV every day, and matter to my home state, but it's a little bit less than maybe a 9 p.m. text saying we got to get something out that I don't have to deal with. So I miss it a little bit, but I appreciate where I'm at now. So
I live that life. In fact, you know, tonight's actually the State of the Union. And we've got candidates that want to do stuff in real time and want to do reactions. And bro, I go to bed like at 8:30 every night. There is zero possibility of me staying up that late. I've already told my team, like guys, I love you, but I ain't staying up to help with this effort tonight. I got to get up in the morning early and run. That's too late for me. But I, you know, I hear you, because it's weekend. It's not just night. It's weekends. It's holidays. Mm-hmm. I mean, it never, ever, ever ends.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's dive in to 2016, right? Because I've heard the wildest stories about working for Ron John in the past. So I want to hear your take on your work there.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, you know, as a kid fresh out of college, trying to get into this space because I had a passion for politics and was interested in it. Looking back on it, I didn't realize how rare of an opportunity it was in the moment to be able to be a part of such a fun win with so many ups and downs. I joined, you know, as a intern who ended up skipping more classes to work on the campaign than finish my senior year at UW. And it was a hard choice for me to make in the moment because we had a trending upward presidential candidate in Governor Scott Walker, who was running for president at the time, who was building out his team in Madison as well. So as a kid who's trying to find a place to go, I kind of had this dilemma between I want to see what a presidential is like, but I have this opportunity to go work for Senator Johnson and be on his reelection campaign. And at the time, what did it for me is I had an opportunity with Senator Johnson's campaign to be a really kind of crucial piece in a smaller team, as opposed to a smaller piece in a very large team. And so I joined that campaign, was asked, I think when I joined, we were in the Republican Party of Wisconsin basement next to the call center for the Republican Party of Wisconsin, nestled right by the bathrooms. So there was three of us in one office and our campaign manager in the other office. And that's what it was. And it started out just doing traveling around with him, doing social. As the team grew, you know, got to be able to be digital coordinator for that campaign and the deputy press secretary, kind of getting to do a little bit of travel stuff with him. So it was a really fun, kind of well-rounded experience in that way. And it was a great way to kick off my career. Got to see the whole state, you know, in places that I'd never been, living here, you know, my whole life. And it's just an incredible opportunity to see, even in this state, how diverse it is and what issues matter to people in different corners of the state.
Nice. I mean, that was, it ended up being a pretty close race, wasn't it?
The trend of that race was pretty wild. We finally got an office, not in the basement anymore. So that was a big deal, with kind of recycled furniture and shoestring budget stuff. Nobody wanted to work there. Nobody, everyone was picking it as an upset. We had Russ Feingold trying to reclaim his seat to come back and win it. And it was, I mean, a year and a half out, the summer of polls that were coming out, it was like 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. And we got it down to single digits one day. And in the office, we grabbed one Michelob Ultra that was left over from something. And we're like, yeah, all right, we got it to single digits. Like we're on track. And 2016 was wild in its own right. And we kind of rode that, but it just continued to get closer and closer. And and we had this mantra on the campaign from the Al Pacino speech in Any Given Sunday, which is fight for that inch. And we got in every day, and it was like, what inch are we taking? We're not going to make up 14, 15 points in one day, but we're going to fight for an inch on everything we're doing, whether it's press hits and local, you know, outreach to local town papers that don't have anybody in there besides once a week. Like, how can we get a story in there? How can we fight for an inch on everything we're doing on social, everything we're doing on digital, everything we're doing on fundraising? And it really was like battling for that inch every single day to get it close to where then in September, in October, people were like, what the heck is going on up there? Because it's starting to get close.
I remember the bigger, one of the bigger issues you guys had was a likability issue, and that, you know, he's a wealthy guy, and there was like a connection gap there, and you guys came out with an ad that I remember like it was yesterday of like his grandson peeing on him or something. It was like, do you remember this? He was like changing a diaper.
The diaper ad.
And yeah, and the baby like peed on him or something, and it like increased all favorability dramatically because it connected him with normal people. Like, oh, he's just like us. Yeah, he just peed on too.
It was so fun to be on that campaign with kind of those types of things, right? We just traveling around with him, business guy from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, who, you know, we got endorsed by the Tavern League. I don't know if you remember this. And he was traveling with our press secretary at the time and was like, I'm going to go into this bar. And he was pretty good at chugging beer, which is
good
in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And so he just sat down at a bar outside of Oshkosh before one of the travel days, chugged a Miller Lite, and like, I think we put a stopwatch on it and tweeted it out. And it was like, sub 4 or 5 second, like some ridiculous thing. And and we got a bunch of play on social from that. We went to a Packers tailgate, and he was campaigning there before a Packer game with our bus that we had on one of the final weekends. And I mean, it wasn't less than 5 people that were like, hey, chug this beer. Like, we saw the video, you know? So like, it resonated with people. Yeah.
But that's the kind of stuff you need if you're a guy like Ron Johnson and you're trying to connect with these Midwestern, we said at the beginning of this podcast, these tough ass people. Like, how do you connect with these people? And chugging fucking beer helps, man.
It works.
Wisconsin's a beer drinking state.
It is. It is a beer drinking state, probably beer cheese capital of the world. It's cold. There's not a ton else to do. Going to the local bar and hanging out with everybody in town a couple nights a week is pretty ingrained in the culture up here. So yeah, and being someone from here, it fit right in. So
all right. Well, it's a good way to end this because I will be back in Wisconsin probably every other week. So I need you to take me to some local beer drinking spots. I'm typically just kind of hanging around that like University of Wisconsin area because I don't know where else to go. And there's some really good bars on, is it State Street? State Street,
State
right?
State Street, yeah.
Yeah.
We got to get you out into some good local Wisconsin dive bars.
I am a dive bar like guy. Like, I don't like fancy bars. I love Charleston, and because you know all these nice new fancy bars are popping up all over the place, but I always end up at the nasty dive bars. Like the more like Sharpie and shit drawn on the walls is typically my kind of place.
Oh, we got plenty of those. There's a bar and church in every small town in this state.
I went to this is just random. I don't even want to tell you this, but I went to Berlin in October to run the Berlin Marathon, and my wife hated Berlin. And I'm like, this is my favorite city in the world. She looks at me, she said, yeah, because the entire city is a dive bar. And I was like, yeah, that's right.
Well, with our German heritage, it is very similar up here. So that makes a ton of sense.
Oh, man. Well, man, I really appreciate your time, and I will be giving you a call within the month so we can go get some beer together.
Let's do it, man. Congrats on the role in Wisconsin. We'll see you up here. And any other Wisconsin advice, we're your people. So
I'll hit you up. I'll hit you up. All right, man. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Campaign War Stories. Please subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also get new episodes sent straight to your inbox by subscribing at WesleyDonahue.com. I hope you have a phenomenal day full of positive vibes.